Are you having a good day? Amen. God is good, isn't he? Takes care of us. I have a little song that I wanted to share with you. It's by Andre Crouch from many years ago, several decades ago. Some of you weren't alive yet when he wrote this, but it's a great one I want to share with you. I've got confidence that it's going to start. There it is. When trouble is in my way, I can't tell my night from day. When I'm tossed from side to side, like a ship on a raging tide, I don't worry and I don't fret. God has never failed me yet. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right, I'm not the worrying kind, because I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's gonna fix it for me. Job was sick so long, till the flesh fell from his bones. His wealth, his cattle and children, everything that he had was gone. But Job, in his despair, he knew that God still cared. Sleepless days and sleepless nights, but Job said, that's all right, because I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's gonna fix it for me. Some folks wonder how I smile, even when I'm going through trials. How can I have a song when everything is going wrong? I don't worry and I don't fret. My God has never failed me yet. Troubles come from time to time, but that's all right, I'm not the worrying kind, because I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's gonna fix it for me. Can you sing that with me? I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's gonna fix it for me. Amen. Do we keep that confidence? You know, the record of the life of Job's, his struggles, it was one of tremendous cost for Job. It was great heartache for him. He lost his children, all of his possessions. He did still have his wife, and what was she doing? Say, why don't you just curse God and die? Oh, well, we read that God blessed him after all of the trials that he went through, and God blessed him even more afterwards. Job hung onto his faith in God. Now, all of you can testify, have you had any problems in life, any struggles? Still going through some of you? Yeah? Satan is doing all he can to destroy us. We see in Scripture that God reveals that there is a war going on constantly between Satan and the will of God. Are we going to choose to put our faith and trust, our confidence in God? I hope so and pray so. That's what our goal is, to encourage each other to be faithful to God. Many years ago, in the early days of my ministry, Marshall Hayden, one of our leading Christian church preachers of the day, mailed out a selection of offering meditations for the purpose of raising funds for our national annual gathering. And the very first meditation, I believe, kind of applies today. And it says this: there was a notable meeting of eight great industrialists and business tycoons in Chicago during the era of prosperity when Calvin Coolidge was president of the United States. They controlled more wealth among them than was available by the national government through taxation. 8 years later, seven of the eight men had either died in poverty, had been imprisoned, or had committed suicide. And Mr. Hayden asked the question, there must be more to life than wealth. There must be more to wealth than money, isn't there? Can we answer yes? Some of you are not sure yet. There is more. Since life is filled with ups and downs, twists and turns, and surprises and routines, we have to ask ourselves on a daily basis, is my anchor in my achievements, in my abilities, in my doctor, in my bank account, in my spouse, in my children, in my home, or in my business, or in something else, or in someone else? I hope it's the last one and the right one. Where is your sure help, no matter come what may? Psalm chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 shares with us these words, and I hope and pray it is part of our prayer and our motivation in life. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside you. Amen? Nothing good except for what God gives us. Well, He takes care of us, how He protects us, and how He has promised to take care of us forever. Today our text is out of the book of Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46 to the end of the chapter. This same story is recorded in the book of Matthew and Luke. And it has those two accounts have a little bit different twist and a little bit different information included in them. However, the book of Mark tells us what this guy's name is. His name is Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. So, and we see in this account, in spite of overwhelming odds, Bartimaeus is a powerful testimony of trust and confidence placed in the solid security of the one who gives eternal life, in Jesus Himself. Before we read this text, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank You that You give us confidence, and Father, I pray that we will be wholly committed to You in all things, in all ways, at all times, in all circumstances, that You are our rock, our fortress, our strength, forever and ever. Father, we thank You for giving us Your Scripture. We thank You for giving us hope. We thank You for giving us Jesus, who came and gave His life as the final sacrifice for all sin, including mine, including my brothers and sisters here. Father, You are good. Help us to put all of our confidence in You, to pattern our lifestyle after Your Word, and especially the Word, who became flesh, Jesus Christ. Be with us, help us, guide us, challenge us in areas that we have not been paying attention to, areas that we need to clean up in our own personal lives. And Father, let us be found faithful, confident in You through Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's read our text. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through verse 52. It's talking about Jesus and His disciples here. Then they came to Jericho, and as He was leaving Jericho with His disciples, a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, Call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. The very first thought I want to address is the contrast of people that are converging at Jericho. What a contrast of people. Here, first of all, we see the main character. The most important one is who? Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, is traveling through the city of Jericho. Now, the arrival of Jesus was not a very quiet matter. We see that a whole multitude is surrounding him. His 3 years of ministry and his 3 years of miracles, his preaching, his teaching was very well known at this point. When he was not teaching, when he did not have the attention of the crowd, what is the crowd doing? What happens when I quit preaching? Everybody else starts talking. Well, sometimes you talk during my preaching too. Well, that happens from time to time. Anyway, when the main guest, the main focus, when Jesus isn't preaching, we got a noisy multitude going around him, surrounding him, chitter-chattering, people calling for him. It's not just Bartimaeus. There were all kinds of people who were calling for Jesus to help them because Jesus was the miracle worker. They needed help. They needed it now. When you get excited about something, do you stay quiet? Well, most of you probably get a little loud about things, right? And I can only imagine, it doesn't say here in our text, but I can only imagine that this multitude, not just 3 or 4 or 20 or 40 people, but a multitude of people are rather noisy. The final destination of Jesus is Jerusalem. He is determined to go to Jerusalem. We read that in the previous text, and the disciples are still thinking about other things. Jesus says, I'm going to give my life at Jerusalem. That is his focus. That is his intention. He's going to fulfill his role as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's going to pay for all of our sin in Jerusalem. He knows that's coming. He's going to pay for all sin, past, present, and future, mine, yours, and those around us. The final goal of Jesus is about to be fulfilled. He's just within days, and he knows it. And once he gets to Jerusalem, it's going to be a lot of stuff happening. But the Word of God still has a few things that he must address as the Word of God. Just think about those words for a moment. He is the Word of God. And what is this? It's the Word of God. There's a story that's got to get into the text. Not just one story, but at least two. What else is going on in Jericho, this place where all these contrasting people are meeting? Well, Jericho is full of pilgrims. It's loaded with pilgrims that are headed where? They're also going to Jerusalem, as well as all the local residents. Now, every faithful Jew must be where for Passover? They must be in Jerusalem. So there are all kinds of people who have left their homes. They're on their way to go to Jerusalem. And it's just, the Passover is just a few days away. So they're kind of in a hurry because they've got to get to Jerusalem because they've got to go to Jerusalem and find their place that they're going to be staying either with family, friends, or even having to set up tents out on the hillside. And you always want the best camping spot, don't you? Yeah? Got to get there before the crowd. Kind of like going shopping, right? Custom required that every righteous Jew from the northern territories travel to Jerusalem. But how are they going to get there? Do they take a direct route? There's a problem. Samaria lies between Galilee and Judea. And every righteous Jew knows that you don't go through Samaria because you don't want to contaminate yourself in some way by mixing with those non-Jewish people. So what do? They cross the Jordan River up below the Sea of Galilee. They go down the eastern side of the Jordan River, and they come back across the Jordan River where? At Jericho. And so the city is packed full of all kinds of travelers headed up to Jerusalem, and Jericho is kind of the refueling station. The gas station, everybody's stopping there to buy some food, make sure they got everything before they finally get up to the holy city. Just a little bit of a side note, a reflection. 13 centuries earlier at Jericho, Joshua led the nation of who? Israel. All those Jewish people had come to the outskirts of the city, but they weren't there to buy goods. They were there to destroy the city and to destroy all the local inhabitants, all the residents, because they were Canaanites. God had ordered the destruction of all the city. But what happened? There was a woman named Rahab who believed in the Lord God. And she and her household were spared from destruction. Another little interesting note. Rahab is in the family tree of who? Jesus. Another little interesting tidbit here, as we sit at the gates of Jericho, the first guy that led the battle was Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew term for what in Greek? Jesus. Joshua was at the gates. Jesus is at the gates of Jericho. In our text, what is this Joshua going to do among the people? Is he there to destroy the people or to save the people? There to save the people if they would only believe in him. However, the multitude that is surrounding Jesus, they are not very accepting of anyone who is seeking the Lord, especially that bum sitting over on the side of the road who's begging. There are souls to save at Jericho. They must be saved, and Jesus is the Savior. Jesus, the Word of God, knows who seeks Him. God's Word always accomplishes His purpose. Jesus has a plan to include the faith of a poor blind man. Where? In His Word. We're reading about it. We're talking about it today. A blind man that nobody else liked. God liked him and loved him. And he's written in the Scripture. But it's not just Bart. You know Bart? Bartimaeus. Our focus isn't just on him. God's Word is not just focused on him. When we read the account in the book of Luke, when you get to chapter 19, verse 1 and following, it records another sinner whom Jesus came to save in Jericho. It was little short Zacchaeus, the publican, who must be allowed to climb a tree and to humbly confess Jesus is his master as well. To discover the joy of believing and serving the King of life. So we know of two people that Jesus saved during that passing through Jericho to fulfill his will, to fulfill the word of God. There are all kinds of people in Jericho, non-believers and believers. My next thought that I want to deal with is that faith motivates a person to take action. Faith that pleases God must be more than just head knowledge or words on our lips. James chapter 2 discusses the importance of active faith, putting our faith into action. Verse 14 and following discusses the necessity of action if we really believe. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, even so, faith, if it has no works, it is dead, being by itself. Now, the scripture says that works alone don't save us either. Our faith, living and active in Jesus Christ, is what saves us. But that faith must have some action with it. The reaction of Bartimaeus reveals his faith in Jesus. Verse 47 says that when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming, he immediately began calling for help from Jesus. Now, it's interesting because Bartimaeus doesn't refer to him as Jesus of Nazareth. What does he say? Bartimaeus refers to the family tree of Jesus. In his plea for help, he honors the Lord's heritage. And with that heritage is also the prospect of Jesus reigning as the Son of David. How many of us pay attention to the ancestry of the people around us? Not hardly. We hardly know who the family members are in each other's lives unless you've lived next door to each other for a long time, right? And yet Bartimaeus was very aware that Jesus was not just the Nazarene. He was the Son of David. Bartimaeus asked specifically for mercy from Jesus. He does not demand help. He is very humble towards Jesus. He knows that only Jesus can help him in his desperation. How many of us turn always first to Jesus? Or do we go someplace else to find help? And Jesus is a last resort. Do we have our priorities straight? Do we have our confidence straight? The cry for help of Bartimaeus reveals his faith in Jesus. Nobody helped him get any closer to Jesus. In fact, the crowd tried to shut him off completely. The crowd considered this beggar to be a nuisance, an irritation, a distraction. Shut up! Quiet! Don't distract the master. He doesn't have time for you. Shut your mouth! Oh, what love they showed. How much love do we show when people are crying for help? You're not important. Don't waste the time of the master. He doesn't have time for you. But the persistence of Bartimaeus reveals his faith in Jesus. He does not stop. With renewed efforts, the blind man cried out louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now just think about this. Where is his hope? His only hope is in who? In Jesus. He knows it. And he cries for it. Please have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. And he's doing it at the top of his voice, not in a whimper. And nobody's helping him. We read other stories where friends carried the lame to Jesus, where family members came and pled for their loved ones. Bartimaeus doesn't have anybody. He's on his own. Will somebody please get Jesus' attention. I need his mercy. The Lord hears the cry of those who trust in him. Amen. The Lord hears the cry of those who trust in him. Verse 49 and following records the brief interaction between Jesus, Son of God, and Bartimaeus, the beggar. Jesus heard Bartimaeus over all of the noise of all of that multitude that surrounded him. In spite of the noise of the multitude, just think about all of the noise that is going on. People yelling back and forth, yelling at Bartimaeus. They're yelling messages, talking back and forth, asking Jesus for help, talking to the disciples, all this noise going on. And then you have the livestock that is probably with them as well. Sheep and goats. All kinds of noise going on. Cattle, possibly horses, donkeys. All this noise going on. Where's the voice of Bartimaeus? It's way back there. But Jesus heard it. John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25 tells us about Jesus. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to men, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Jesus knew the hearts of every person around him, those close, those who were far, and that guy crying for help back there in the back. Just as Jesus knew that Peter would deny him three times, just as Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot would betray him, he knew the heart of that blind Bartimaeus, that he believed Jesus was his Savior. Psalm 34, verse 15 through 18 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord hears those who are true to him. And the Lord heard the cry of Bartimaeus over the crowd. The word of God called Bartimaeus to himself, taking time for this man whom the world had discarded as worthless, useless trash. They'd pushed him aside, but Jesus called him near. Isn't it Jesus who said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest? The crowds are stunned that Jesus is specifically calling for that noisy, irritating blind guy. I've been trying to get personal audience with Jesus, and he won't listen to me. But who does he want? He wants that blind guy over there. Bartimaeus didn't waste time, did he? He didn't linger. Think about it. Well, let's see. Flip a coin. Yes or no. Do I go or not? No, he threw off his coat and he jumped up immediately. But remember, he's blind. Brother Bob, you can tell us about what it's like. You just go running down the road all of a sudden. And he's surrounded by all kinds of people. Being blind, he has to feel his way. He's stumbling. He's getting pushed around by the crowd. No, get away from me. Go that way. I can't see. But he finally makes his way to Jesus. There he is, right in front of the King of Kings, the Lord of life. And Jesus asks Bartimaeus Reveal what you want. Tell me what you wanted. Now, did Jesus not know what he wanted? Jesus knew exactly what he wanted. But Jesus offered the man an opportunity to express his faith for his request. I'd like to regain my sight. Bartimaeus did not complain about his situation like some of us would do. You know, this all started back when I was working at the so-and-so place. He doesn't go into the history. I just would like to receive my sight back. He didn't command that the Lord give him a miracle. Heal me. No, he asks respectfully. He doesn't blame God. You know what the Lord did? I used to be able to see, but God didn't think I needed to see anymore. No, he doesn't say that. He just says, I would like to see again. The man expressed his greatest respect for the Lord in another way. He calls him Rabboni, which means my master. Bartimaeus has already determined who Jesus is to him. He's the master. He's the Lord. And another factor is that Bartimaeus expresses his desire for what only God can do. Only God can perform a miracle, true or false. Only God can perform a miracle. Only God can heal me. Jesus, you are who? My master, my God, my Lord. Heal me, please. Jesus makes a statement at the end that the faith of Bartimaeus saved him. Now, my translation has there made you well. I don't know how many of your different translations made him well. Oh, yeah, he regained his sight. But no, the literal Greek says his faith saved him. And it doesn't expand on that, but we see that his faith, the faith of Bartimaeus, is in Jesus, Lord, Savior of humanity. And once he is healed, he doesn't go about his way and go back to work or go to his family that has rejected him or doesn't have any friends around. What does he do? He immediately follows Jesus along with the rest of the multitude, and off they go, resuming their journey to Jerusalem, where Jesus will finish the work of saving all of us. Faith in Jesus saves us. A living faith, an active faith, a dedicated faith. How are we doing? Is our confidence in our Savior? Or do we get sidetracked? Let's live for Jesus. Jesus continues to accept everyone who will put their full trust in him, no matter come what may, no matter what your status in life, no matter what challenges you face, Jesus can be your Savior if you will trust him. It's only in Jesus that we have life that lasts forever. And the Lord still answers the request of his disciples in his time, in his way. The Apostle Paul had an issue and asked Jesus three times. And Jesus said, my grace is made more complete by your suffering. So sometimes we have to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this day. Praise you anyway. Always. Our confidence is where? Let's keep it in Jesus. When it comes to our salvation, Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus Christ must be our confidence. Amen. If you're struggling with your relationship with Jesus or failing or needing answers, needing direction, please talk with myself or one of the elders or somebody you've got confidence in that is a faithful servant of Christ. Get your life straight with Jesus. If you got problems in life, Jesus can help. Jesus is the master. His ways are good, but you've got to put your confidence in him, no matter what come may. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Help us to be true to you, confident in you at all times and all circumstances, to not get distracted, but to keep our faith in you, to serve you always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.